Well, it is truly an honor and a privilege for me to introduce our guest speaker this morning, Mr. Bill Leslie. No doubt many of you are here this morning just for that very reason, and we appreciate you being here. As if you didn't know, Bill Leslie is an award-winning journalist and an internationally acclaimed musician and composer. He retired from the anchor desk in 2018 after 34 faithful years to WRAL-TV, and as I shared with him this morning, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing, WRAL has not been the same since. Bill has won more than 70 major news awards, including 2 Peabody Awards. He is considered a Pulitzer Prize of Broadcasting, along with 5 Emmys. In 2018, Bill won the prestigious North Carolina Award for his work as a musician and journalist. He is also a popular storyteller and the author of a book featuring his father's watercolors of Western North Carolina, which someone was speaking to him earlier this morning about his love for the mountains. His hobbies include running, photography, and visiting the national parks. He is an elder at his church, Cary Presbyterian Church. He is a graduate of University of North Carolina. Robbie Everhart will appreciate that. His roots run deep in his Tar Heel soul. Bill's North Carolina ancestry spans over 5 generations. His great-great-great-great-grandfather, Charles McDowell, was a patriot leader in the Revolutionary War. Bill makes his home in Cary, North Carolina, with his wife, Cindy, who is a speech pathologist. Please join in me in welcoming Mr. Bill Leslie to our pulpit this morning.
Yes, sir. Gosh, what a nice church. I mean, the people are just fantastic. You make me feel like I'm back in my hometown of Morganton or something. You're so nice and so kind and so warm, and what a beautiful church you have here. That piano sounds like it should be on Broadway or something. That sounds great. Of course, it helps to be able to play it. And the choir just sounded wonderful this morning. So I'm just delighted here. Dr. Allen, so good to see you again and to be here. I just got back from Disney World, where we took our granddaughter Elizabeth, who is now 4 years old, and wow, I needed to kind of get away to, you know, just catch my breath. But that we had a great time, we really did. But it really does kind of take it out of the old folks, so to speak, the retirees who now think they can handle all of that craziness. But we had a wonderful time. My wife Cindy wanted to be here today, but she's starting to come down with a cold. But I'll tell her what a great group of people she missed. Our New Testament reading this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. Let us listen for the word of God. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Whenever I hear the words "very early in the morning," my heart starts to race a little bit. 4 a.m. is nothing, Walter, I'm sorry. In my world, for all those years at WREL, my life was all about getting up very early in the morning, 2:25. I had it down to a science, and going to work at the TV station. I was always afraid my alarm wouldn't go off or I would sleep through the alarm. I guess the fear paid off. Not once in my career did I miss a newscast from oversleeping. I did invest in one of those expensive Bose sound machines for my bedside table. Even when the power went out, and it did a number of times over the years, the clock kept ticking and the alarm stayed active by rechargeable battery. Today, 18 months into retirement, I'm glad to say I rarely set that old faithful alarm clock and radio anymore. It's gathering a lot of dust. I'm usually up on my own by 5 a.m. or so, and it still feels like I'm sleeping in, you know? Do you ever feel like you need to recharge your spiritual batteries? Maybe you've gone through a period of a lot of stress and you need a break from life to try to get back on track. We can only imagine how stressful it must have been for Jesus to carry all of the burdens of the people he came in contact with. Everyone needed something or wanted something. Just think about the energy that Jesus expended every day in the healing and the praying and the preaching and dealing with demons and disease. Jesus was a multitasker long before that description of a busy modern-day person came to light. But you know, Jesus was smart enough to know that the best way to clear the mind and prepare for God's work is through rest and prayer. So he would rise in the morning and go to a quiet place for prayer and meditation with his Heavenly Father. 4 years ago this month, I felt like my spiritual life had grown a bit stagnant. It had been a long time since I had felt that unmistakable presence of God. So I took a four-day retreat to Ocracoke on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I went by myself and I checked into a modest room at a place called the Cruise Inn, which was built back in 1908. A longtime friend, Alton Balance, a native of Ocracoke whose ancestors helped settle the island, encouraged me to come to Ocracoke in the winter because he says that's when the soul of the island comes alive. In addition to running the inn, Alton, an English teacher, father, and published author, headed up the North Carolina Academy for the Advancement of Teaching. Inspiration for this trip came from a book I had read many years ago by Henry Nouwen called Out of Solitude, and the book explored the scripture passage that I read for this morning from Mark. Nouwen suggested that we should follow the example of Jesus and yes, get up early in the morning and go to a quiet place and pray so that we can draw new strength and wisdom from God and have the energy and commitment to do important things in the world. Well, I love the idea of going to a peaceful place where I could think and reflect and journal and read and listen for the voice of God. Many years ago, I used to carve out a week to go do that, like up into the mountains of North Carolina, hike and camp and do that. And I'd kind of gotten out of that with kids and job commitments and things like that. But I have long been fascinated with the process of being still and quiet and shutting down the ego and giving myself a chance to hear the still, small voice of God. So I began each day just before sunrise with coffee at the convenience store at Ocracoke and headed out to the beach on the National Seashore. I brought my camera just in case there was going to be a pretty sunrise. The beach was beautiful, but bare. Not a single person would I see in my more than an hour walking up and down the beach. I began each walk with a prayer of thanksgiving and praise, speaking out loud I know it sounds a little weird, but speaking out loud to God right there on the beach, it seemed like the natural and right thing to do. Then I would be silent and in the moment and the presence of the Almighty. When thoughts and worries would fill my head, I would just acknowledge them briefly and let them float on out to sea like the waves were doing there. By the end of that four-day retreat, I was getting pretty good at being still and in the moment with God. No, I never actually heard the voice of God like Moses did, but I did feel the unmistakable presence of Christ. One morning, I remember there were these multiple shafts of light coming down, golden light spilling out of the clouds and casting a heavenly hue on the blue water. I remember the goosebumps popping out on my arm. That scene spoke to me personally. To my way of thinking, Christ was there on the water. And he was glad to see me. He was glad that I had deemed it important enough to give him 4 full days of my time to be still and to listen. Until retirement, my days were probably a lot like yours, very busy. Many days I was like a pinball bouncing around from, you know, one thing to the other. And it's hard to feel connected to God when your life is rolling along like that. But no matter how busy I was at the TV station, I would always try to carve out a little bit of time each day to kind of sneak into the audio booth and read a Bible verse and pray. Because I tell you, some of that news was so bad, you let that stuff kind of seep into your psyche and you start internalizing all of that negative news. It can be a little rough. Here is part of what I prayed each day at Ocracoke. I wrote this down in my journal. I said, and this is just to let you kind of know what it was like. God, please bless my family. May everyone be well, safe and happy today. May our marriages in this family be strong. May we find meaningful ways to help those in need. Fill us with loving kindness and a sense of deep peace. May we be well in body and mind and safe from inner and outer dangers. Help me, Lord, to use time wisely today. Give me good judgment. Help me to stay on task and to be efficient and productive. Help me to be decisive. Help me to find a fresh and creative vision today. And may I discern the voice of God. May I find something nice to say about every person that I meet today. It's easy to do that in a wonderful place like this. And God, grant me the courage and the strength to become everything that you created me to be. I had another powerful encounter with God at Ocracoke. It was a Saturday night. All signs pointed to a beautiful sunset. And the best place to watch the sun go down at Ocracoke is the old Coast Guard station there. It's the boardwalk at what is now the Teaching Academy. I thought, you know, mid-January, not much going on, I would be the only person there, but about 10 people showed up. It was a nice, jovial group. We all had our cameras and our stories. Click. Cameras were snapping, clicking away. Nice pictures, just enough clouds to give the sunset some character. One lady was particularly talkative and friendly and funny. She was with a gentleman who sounded like a native Ocracoker. Hoi tight on the sound side. My wife worked at the post office all her life. I used to fish in Pamlico Sound for the flounder, but I doubt there's any of those over there now. I just love that dialect. Okay, as soon as the big orange ball buried itself in the water below. Everyone on the boardwalk left, including the friendly woman who said, "Got it, I'm good, just bagged another sunset on my Canon camera. Joe, let's go out there and get some grits and grouper for supper tonight." Well, I didn't have any dinner reservations, so I decided to stay there on the pier and just breathe in the beauty of the moment. There in the silence, in solitude of that Ocracoke sunset, the colors of the sky changed dramatically. The orange morphed into a rich magenta and crimson. I stood in total awe of God's creation. I began to take more pictures, and these images were absolutely stunning, much more beautiful than the ones I had taken earlier with the group. And my favorite picture was a blinking beacon on a channel marker with a backdrop of burgundy and blue and bronze. And I dropped to my knees on the pier, and I gave thanks to God and was reminded of a Sunday school lesson from years ago when I was growing up as a child in Morganton, when a teacher, Russ Welburn, said, "Bill, beautiful things happen to those who wait on God." Tramway Baptist Church is a living and breathing example of what it means to wait, to trust and believe in God. For many years, this beautiful church, warm and friendly congregation, has been a beacon on the channel marker of life, serving this community, the nation, and the world. And the welcome on the Tramway Church webpage says it all. "To all who are weary and seek rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who struggle and desire victory, to all who sin and need a Savior, to all who are idle and look for service, to all who are strangers and need fellowship, to all who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and to whosoever will come, Tramway Baptist Church opens wide her doors and offers her welcome in the name of Jesus Christ, her Lord." And to that, I think we should all say, amen. Or I say, amen, but amen is great, too. I'll say both. Thank you very much.
Bill, you've been a blessing today. Thank you so much for being here with us, and you certainly spoke to me, and I know to the fellowship here at Tramway. Thank you again for being here today. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 572, "I Love to Tell the Story." And we invite you to come to accept Christ as your Savior, to unite with His church here, to recommit your life to Him. As we stand and as we sing, you come this morning.